You are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Claire's upcoming season of The Bachelorette and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 199. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. Great show for you today. Casey Campbell, Temptation Island, Season 1. If you've been a fan since Season 1, you know she was a weekly guest back then. Well, now she is back. We haven't spoken to her since the end of Season 2 of Temptation Island. Got a lot of things to talk about with Casey, which we'll get to momentarily. I know a lot of you are waiting on spoilers and stuff like that, and obviously, if I had them, I'd post them. I don't have them yet, so I will get them to you when I can. And when I get them, and that's the latest on spoilers. Sorry, there's nothing else to say. There's been a lot of things that happened this week in Bachelor Nation. Two things that a lot of you have emailed me about over the last couple days. The interviews that Nick Vile did with Nikki Farrell and Victoria Fuller. I haven't heard either of them. I don't really want to listen to them, but I know you want a reaction. I don't think I'm going to give you a very long, detailed reaction if I do get around to listening to them, but I will address it on Sunday night, whether I've listened to them or I had somebody recap it for me, whatever the case may be. I don't know. Do I really have to sit through two interviews of Nick Vile's podcast? I don't want to, so we'll see. But anything I have to say about those two will be addressed in Sunday's Live with Ashley Spivey, which is always every Sunday night, always very entertaining. Sunday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountain, 5 Pacific on my Instagram Live, which is just at Reality Steve. And as for anything else going on in Bachelor Nation, obviously the spoilers are the big thing. And we are done with Bachelor programming until October 13th when Claire's season starts airing. I say Claire, I keep wanting to say Claratia or Claytia since we know it's both of them. But yeah, October 13th, so we've got nothing. No more GOAT episodes. Those are all done, thank God. I watched the first 3 or 4. I never watched 1 minute of probably the last 6. So, anyway, that's where we're at with that. But I will address those two podcasts if I get around to listening to them on Sunday. One podcast that I did listen to was Katie Morton on Olivia Caridi's podcast. If you haven't heard that, go listen to it. It's really good. And I thought Katie, again, somebody that's out of contract, decided to kind of spill the beans on what really went down and how she was feeling with the whole Chris Bukowski thing on the last season of Paradise that we saw, which was season 6. And once again, a contestant tells you, yeah, what you saw is not what happened. So go check that out. But as I said at the beginning of this is podcast number 199, which means next week is 200. When we were approaching my 100 podcast, I didn't plan ahead. I was just like, look, it's tough because I usually record my podcast 1 week in advance or even the day before sometimes, but it's never more than a week out. But this one, I was like, it's 200. I want to get somebody good. I want to get somebody that I've never had on before. And I did accomplish that. And it is Bachelor Nation, and it is somebody that is relevant to the franchise and somebody that has never been on this podcast before. You're all going to hear it, and the only hint I'm going to give you is that it's personal to me. This isn't going to be like a tea-spilling podcast. This isn't going to be like a Colton podcast or a Meredith Phillips podcast or anything like that. This is just someone from the franchise that I think is an excellent guest, and I've already recorded it, and so when you're hearing this right now, I'll probably tweet it out later today, but it is recorded, and I'll let you know about it on my Twitter. This isn't something that I need to, keep secret for a week or whatever. because it's not, there's no tea being spilled in this. I think at the end of this podcast, you'll hear me say I haven't recorded it yet because I recorded the ending probably 2 days ago, but I'm recording this opening the night before you're listening to this, and yeah, I recorded it today. So it's all set to go, and it's a lot of fun, especially the ending, but I'll let you know who it is and kind of fill you in on that. But anyway, that'll be episode number 200. Wow. Next week. Started in December of 2016. Yeah. December of 2016. This is going to be 4 years I've been doing this podcast. Crazy. Anyway, you're going to like Casey Campbell in this one because, especially if you followed her since season one, this is, I just love how she's a changed woman since that season. We talk about what's going on with season three just a little bit off the top of Temptation Island. If you didn't know, it started filming 2 days ago in Maui after it was shut down from filming in Maui about a month ago. So we talk about that. We talk about her relationship with Evan. And if you haven't seen her YouTube videos or her or Morgan Lohler's YouTube videos, I suggest you go watch those at some point. And we talk about how the whole Casey and Morgan relationship came to be, their friendship that has developed from both being with Evan and the stories that they shared and stuff like that. And then a very interesting conversation. We spent a good 15 or 20 minutes on the fact that Casey has started an OnlyFans account. And I know a lot of you have a stigma towards OnlyFans, and I'll be the first to admit, so did I, up until about, I don't know, like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, where I just thought, okay, if you have an OnlyFans account, you're doing porn. There are plenty of people that do porn on OnlyFans, but that's not what OnlyFans is for. That's not the only thing you can use it for. So a very good discussion about that and why she decided to start an OnlyFans account, even though it's no nudes and no porn. So we get into that as well. So let's just get going. Here it is, podcast number 199. Okay, let's bring her in. You remember her from season one of Temptation Island. She was a weekly podcast guest during that season, which seems like it was about 15 years ago now. It didn't seem recent. It's Casey Campbell. Casey, how are you?
I'm good and happy to be back. I love to miss you.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been probably, I'm trying to think of the last time we had you on. It was about a year. We talked about the season. I think the last time we had you on, we wrapped up the season two shenanigans that were going on.
Yes, that is actually, that was like a year ago. Crazy.
Yeah. And my gosh, we talk about Temptation Island. And so, like, I don't know, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. we saw a story break out of Maui that, hey, Temptation Island season three about to begin filming. And then literally within 24 hours, the
shutdown,
the locals out there, are they called, what are they called? Well, you call them Hawaiians, but are they locals. The Maui locals?
Okay. Locals, yeah, definitely.
I was going to call them the Mauians or something, but I probably just offended somebody by saying that. But okay, aww. So the locals in Hawaii literally stormed
the mayor's
office and was like, "No, we're not having this show here. I don't care if they're isolated. I don't care if you do testing and all that. We're not having it." And then it just within 24 hours it was shut down. But now the latest is, as we record this on Tuesday, September 8th, filming is set to go today. And we're going to see a premiere in January, right?
Yeah, I'm actually stoked. And I heard they season one and season two, they filmed for a month. They're actually filming for 2 whole months. And they're quarantined like in one resort in Maui. So everything is going to go down at this one resort. It was actually where I had my overnight date. So it's a sick resort. Like, I mean, it's amazing. The amenities, it's on the beach. Like, it's insane.
I wonder if that's going to change a little bit of the dynamic in terms of, you know, when you're on the show, at least the first two seasons that we saw, you women are with single guys at one side of the island and the men are with a bunch of single women on the other side of the island. Now, if everyone's going to be in the same spot, will there be more opportunity for the couples to, I don't know,
run into each other?
Run into each other, meet up with each other, secretly try and get out and be like, I don't know. Like, we won't know until this is all said and done and, you know, we start hearing stuff once people are back and once filming is over. But it seems like you can't do the same exact thing you did in seasons one and seasons two in the same resort.
No, and this is the thing, because like I know what the resort's like, because it was me, Val, I think, Shari, and Justin, and it's big enough where you can like literally be on like two opposite sides of the resort and like not see each other. But that was only four of us. I can't imagine doing it with like eight people in the couples and then 12 single girls, 12 single guys, and like nobody running into each other. Like it's a huge resort, but like I don't know how. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a different season for sure.
Yeah. And you know what? The biggest thing for me is I'm just glad there's a season. I mean, I'm glad that we're doing it. It's been proven, especially since The Bachelorette just completed their filming. It's been proven this bubble thing works and you can film
a
show.
And Love Island too.
And Love Island. Yeah. I mean, it's still going on.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah. With Love Island still going on and, Big Brother is happening as we speak.
Yep.
You know, that's being filmed. So the bubble thing works. Now, not that the dates in season one and season two were ever really, you didn't go very far, right? It was just like, hey, let's go down to the beach. Hey, we're going to go parasailing. I mean, you got to do stuff. The dates this season are probably going to be the same of like Bachelorette and Love Island, where you're just not leaving the immediate area that you're staying in.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. And I know the resort, like, they have a lot of stuff going on. Like, I didn't even get to experience it all. They have, like, multiple pools. It's literally on the beach, so you can walk to the beach. There's restaurants, like, clubs. I mean, it's, like, spas. Like, there's a lot to do at this resort. It's the Andaz in Maui.
Yeah, the Andaz. Okay, so...
So they'll definitely be able to do, like, date ideas that are on the resort. It's, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm kind of excited to see how it all works.
I'm curious. I don't know if we'll ever get a story. Maybe the Maui newspaper will write about it again. But I'm curious to see if the locals are still pissed. And if, you know, obviously they were able to get through it to where they were like, look, this is what we're doing. And maybe they had to explain to all the locals, this is how filming is going to take place. You're safe.
Yeah.
Don't worry. This COVID isn't going to spread because... Everybody on that set is going to be tested, and assuming everyone's negative, it's not going to go anywhere because they're not going anywhere outside of that.
Yeah. Resort. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like I've lived in Hawaii before on the Big Island. So I definitely know like how the locals are. They're very protective over their islands. And like, I think the thing for them is like on an island, like any sort of disease or whatever, like can spread so fast. So I think that's why they're freaking out. And plus it's like such a big production. Like, I don't think people realize like how many people go on to the island. I mean, like when we go to film TI on Maui, like we take over the island. Like it's, everyone knows everywhere we go, there's people like with their camera phones, like recording. So I just think they already knew like what it was like. And I think they just kind of panicked. But I do know that, cause I've talked to a few different people. I think like production and the network, they actually like sent a proposal to like the mayor and the governor of exactly like the safety protocols that are going to happen and how it's all going to work. And that's why it got like non-postponed, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was, they had to explain to them, this is what it's going to go. And I remember texting you about it because I remembered when we had our talks back on your season, you had talked about the fact that you lived with Evan in Hawaii for a while. So you were very familiar with how low, because I was like, Casey, why are these people freaking out? It's a TV show. And you were like, no, this is.
No, it's serious.
Yeah.
Because they already like, I mean, like everything about the islands is like so sacred. So already having like production and like movies filmed on their islands, it's already like kind of not the they're not fond of it, I guess is how we can word it. So then on top of it, adding like a pandemic, they're just like, they freaked out. And I wasn't surprised at all by that outcome.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because there are so many things that are filmed out there. I mean, Lost filmed out there for 6 years and, and Jurassic, I know parts of Jurassic Park were filmed out there if I'm not mistaken. So and it's just, I mean, there's probably way more other productions that I'm just forgetting, but those are two big productions that I know filmed in Hawaii quite a bit. And it's just like, it's weird that I get why they feel that way, but then you're also like, well, hey, this draws attention to you guys. But I guess that's their thing. Is they don't want tourists. They don't want tourists, though. They don't want people coming to visit. That's what they don't want.
No, true locals, like true Hawaiian locals, they're not about like tourists and all that, because it's like they want to keep the keep it sacred.
Yeah. You know, with season 3 starting today, and I had no idea it was filming for 2 months. That's going to be interesting. So now they're going to be there for,
I can't even imagine. Like, that's like, people are definitely leaving their significant others. Like, 2 months.
2 months
alone at the Andaz in Maui. Are you shitting me? There's no way. Yeah. I wouldn't have lasted 2 months. I'd have a whole new man. There's no way.
It only took Evan 60 days? It only took Evan 2 weeks to drop you. I mean, shit.
Yeah. Like, no, 60 days. We're getting all sorts of new couples.
I just can't. Unless literally a couple that goes out there, one of the four couples goes and just is kind of on the mentality of Shari and Javen, where they are like that, and they don't even last 2 months, and they just say, look, after a month, even production is like, look, we're not getting anything out of them. They clearly are there for each other, and let them go home and just be like, all right, maybe you can leave.
Right, that would be interesting.
And who knows if they replace them with another couple? Because I remember on the original, that did happen. One of the couples,
you're right.
Yeah, one of the couples did.
They were like, actually, didn't they have a kid together or something?
I think so. Yeah. And they found out about it long after the fact, which is amazing that how, you know, that shows you it's the early stages of reality TV. There'd be no way that somebody could get on a reality show right now, a couple get on a reality show right now with a kid and production not even know about it. Like, come on.
No, not even possible.
Not even close. They know they know your best friend from college's phone number. They
100%.
They would know if you had a kid. But, and I wonder, have you heard anything in regards of, because they're filming for 2 months, maybe it's more than four couples, or is it still four?
That I haven't heard. I do know, just like knowing like production and the different people that work on it, they're very much like, they want to stick to the formula, because they've talked about like spinoffs and stuff. And actually, I was almost going to be a single on season 3, but with their original Temptation Island, they're very about sticking to the formula. Four couples, 12 singles, no like all stars. It's very, they're very strict on that. So I don't think they would, but then at the same time, it's like, they might want to spice some things up, because it's going to be back right when everyone's really needing a new show.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you're looking at, you said, 2 months. I mean, unless you have a Shari and Javen.
I wouldn't take 2 months. Yeah. And I'm like loyal as hell.
Yeah. Unless you have a Shari and Javen out there, one of the four couples, I got to think we're getting four breakups again.
Yeah. We're going to call it right now that there's four breakups.
that's a long time. Unless, like we mentioned earlier, during these 2 months, they do give the couples more than a video clip. Where maybe they give them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You get a call once a week. I don't know. But then you would know what was going on with the other person. That's the whole point.
If they did like an overnight date, like a month in, where you could go with a single or your original significant other? Oh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, it would. I mean, it's a good idea. Because then. Then it would just be like, holy shit, he didn't choose me. He's been over there for a month and he didn't choose me. Like,
right,
then it's almost immediate breakup once you do that.
Immediate.
If they don't get chosen. I mean, there's so many different ways they can go with this. I'm excited, and it wasn't until you told me. I had no idea. We were looking at 2 months. I had no idea.
Yeah. I think it's because like they're kind of limited with like date options, and I think because there's so many people filming at the same resort. Because, you know, like when it was a beach villa and mountain villa, we could be filming like entire days at each location without worrying about having to run into each other.
Yeah.
And we had different like production teams, like a beach villa production team, a mountain villa production team. I think the reason why it's taking so long is because it's all the same spot. So they have to do like, one day we're filming the guys and the girls are just staying in their rooms. And then one day we're filming, you know what I mean? So it's like a lot longer.
So it's longer, but the amount of time that they spend filming the girls versus the guys is actually ends up being
that's
the same.
What I'm thinking. That's like the only reason why I would think it would be a whole extra month, you know?
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Okay, so I want to ask you this, and it's really weird because it's yours was 2 years ago and whatnot, and you guys were like, even though the show had been on before, it was early 2000s, it's totally different this time around. You guys were more of like guinea pigs on your first season of Temptation Island.
Definitely.
Because it was being rebooted, but 15 years later, it's like, look, we're starting over.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can do this because of your experience, but what would be the best advice you could give any couple going on this show? Well, besides just don't do it at all if you want to stay together. Because I think most people look at the show just like, anybody who's really serious and really at a crossroads of their relationship shouldn't do this show. You just shouldn't. It's just not going to go well for you. And out of eight couples that we've seen in the first two seasons, Shari and Javen are the only ones still together. Now, Nicole and Carl did find their way back to each other, which is something I want to talk about. But what would be your best advice to give to a couple going on this show? Maybe even taking your own experience out of it because yours was just so bizarre.
Yeah. My advice, and I've actually thought about this before and people have asked me this. First off, in my mindset and who I am today, if I was like truly like in love with someone and they were in love with me and like we're building a life together, I mean, the thought of like putting him on a show like that with me, it wouldn't even cross my mind.
Exactly.
So I think my biggest advice is like just the fact that you guys are willing to do this is already a major red flag. So go into that and just know that this might not be your person because you don't bring your person to Temptation Island.
Yeah.
So go into it, be respectful of your partner because like you want to be a good person and karma's a bitch, but like also listen to your gut and your feelings and your heart because you might find your person in the show, to be totally honest, if you like you're there for a reason and it's not because you're with the right guy or right girl.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if you're really serious about somebody and they're serious about you and you guys are really at a point in your relationship, you would never go on this show in the first place.
No, never. Like, I've actually thought about it. Like, I've liked different guys, like, over the past 2 years. And I'm like, would I want to go on, like, TI if, like, we were, like, serious? And I'd be like, fuck no. Like, there's no way. Like, I couldn't be paid.
Yeah,
like, no. Not happening.
It's just not – it's great entertainment for us, but – for real life situation and a real life relationship. No, you don't want to put yourself in that position. You don't want to put your significant other because the whole point of this show is, look, I know producers have a job and I know that they want to see people grow in their relationships. But the bottom line is if they had a show where four couples went on and four couples never got tempted and never got cheated and never cheated on the other.
It wouldn't be
interesting. Sorry.
No, it wouldn't be interesting. That's the thing is like at the end of the day, we're trying to make a TV show. And we're trying to get ratings. So it's like, yeah, like that's great if we have like one happily ever after, but there can't be more than one happily ever after, you know, like we have a storyline to make happen.
Yeah, it just would be so boring. And you know what? After season two, which set the bar so high when you had sex on the first night with someone.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's like. It's almost like, well, gosh, if we don't have sex or anything like that right away, or if we don't have some sort of cheating immediately, we're almost behind the eight ball behind season two. I mean, for everything that happened on your season and all the bad stuff that, you know, with Evan and Morgan getting together, it still didn't happen until episode five. And then last season they come back with Ashley H. and what's his name? Kwame. No, what's his name? What was his name? KB.
Wait, Ashley G and KB.
Ashley G, yeah, not Ashley H. Ashley G and KB. happened on the first day. So it's like, yeah, well, how do we top that? The only way you top that, I guess, would be a threesome on the first day. Like, that would be like the only way. And that's something we even got last season. So I think it's, look, that's what I'm saying. It's like, look, people, you have to understand what's going on here. They're going to make a show where there's cheating is going to happen. And you kind of have to be ready for that. And,
100%.
And I don't think, I mean, we talked about it enough with your season. I don't think you were ready, or I don't think you ever thought it would happen to you.
No. So like, that's the thing. Like what you said earlier is we were guinea pigs. 100%. Like, I don't think people realize how in the dark season one cast was and how real season one cast was. It's like, we all singles, couples, none of us knew what we were really signing up for. Like, it really was like everything was in the moment. Everything was real. Like, it was an insane experience. And season two, like, yeah, it was fun to watch, but I get messages all the time. I see comments on different like blogs and stuff. It wasn't the same genuine like realness that we had in season one because they were prepared. They knew what they were signing up for. They knew what was going to happen. They knew how it was going to work. They knew what limits to push. I mean, we didn't know any of that. Everything that happened with us was real in the moment and like raw and like it was nuts. Season one, like 100%. None of us knew how crazy it was going to be.
And you wonder if casting for season three, when they were doing casting, if they kind of asked couples to do it that, I don't know, didn't really care to watch season one or season two. Like, you almost have to get the naive people because getting someone,
they want to get that season one realness again.
Yeah. Cause if you ask a couple to come out to LA and you interview them and you put them in front of production and they're like, oh my God, we loved season one. We loved the Shari and Javen couple. And they dissected both seasons. It'd be like, we don't want them because they're going to try and game the system and they're going to try and outdo us. And we don't want that type of headache. We want people that are really oblivious to how reality TV works. It's kind of hard.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard in 2020 to find somebody like that, but there are people out there. And then you're going to have your couple. There's certainly going to be a couple that goes on it strictly that tells themselves whether or not they end up cheating or not. Probably yes. But that tells themselves pre-show, babe, this will be great for us. It'll be great for our Instagram followings and all this stuff. You know.
That's like me and Evan. Like, straight up. Like, in my gut, I, like, knew that this is, like, not normal and, like, this is a red flag. But that was literally our mindset. We're like, we're going to get, like, followers and, like, life's going to be great. Like, we're going to get, like, paid deals after this. Like, straight up. Like, there's definitely going to be a naive couple like that.
Kind of turned out a little bit different than that for you.
A little bit, but better, honestly.
I know. I mean, you know, I don't even know how many people know this. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, you're people that are big fans of you and have followed you ever since your season are well aware of what's happened in the last few months with you and Morgan and releasing videos and stuff like that. But for those that don't know, you know, we've gone over your season with Evan ad nauseum. Like I said, you were a weekly guest back then. Evan left you on that season for Morgan. You basically told everybody, you said it on my podcast, like, look, wish them the best, but this ain't gonna last. I know him. I know who he is, and I know he's gonna do it to her just like he did it to me. She didn't listen to you. And then for those that don't know, you know, tell everyone how you and Morgan, post Morgan and Evan's breakup, how you guys came together. You shared your stories about your time with Evan, and you kind of grew closer because of it. And then each, within the last month or two, released your own YouTube videos talking about what it was like dating Evan.
I mean, my past interviews and podcasts with you and what, even on the show, like, you can see there's like a part where like me and Nicole are walking away and I'm like, this girl has no idea what she just signed up for. Like, I've been saying it in the most respectful way because I know Evan better than anyone in this world. It's a fact. I don't care what anyone says. It's just a fact. Like, I do. I know that man.
You had 10 years with him. I mean, for people that forget, you had 10 years with this guy, with the last six being a couple?
Felt like five and a half, okay. So, no, like, I know him. So, I always was respectful about it, but I'm also a very honest, blunt person. So I would always say, it's like, I wish them the best. Like, I hope that they're going to get married. I hope they have a happily ever after. And I hope he's really changed. But no, like, it's a matter of time. Like, but even me saying a matter of time, I actually did think that they would get married and like have kids, and this would happen in like 5 years. Like, I thought he would keep his shit together longer than like a year. Like, his like game has really gotten poor. So basically, I was just chilling. I think it was a couple days before New Year's Eve. I was chilling. I was at like an eyelash appointment. At the time, Erica was my roommate, and I always have my phone on Do Not Disturb. Like, anyone that knows me knows this. So I never get calls or texts until I like check my phone. So I finally get done with my eyelash appointment, and I'm not even kidding. The amount of like text messages and calls I had from Erica, I thought someone died, knock on wood. Like, I literally was like, something insane has happened. So I immediately call her. I don't even read the messages. And she's like, so basically Evan just did like everything and more to Morgan, and she wants your number, and I don't want to give it to her unless like you have permission. And I'm not going to lie, at first, my initial first reaction was like, this is gonna sound bad, but I've been nothing but nice to her since. But it was originally like, fuck this girl, like, no way, I'm not giving her my number. And I called my dad, and my mom and dad both were like, no, do not give her her number. She needs to deal with this on her own after everything she did to you and like bullied you online, and like, it was ridiculous, Casey, do not do it. So I spent like an hour or two just like kind of thinking about it. And I don't know, ever since I got out of my relationship with Evan, I've really tried to work on myself and like my mental health and just who I am as like a woman. And even though a lot of people don't understand it, it's like, I'm just trying to be the absolute best person that I need to be in my one life I've been given. So at the end of the day, it felt like it was the right thing to do, because I knew what she was going through, and I knew how confused and like lost she must be. So I texted her. I didn't call her. I didn't want to talk to her on the phone. And it was just like the floodgates were open. I mean, she just started telling me everything, and she was asking me a million questions, and I was just kind of reassuring her, like, you know what, like, this is what he does. Like, I'm really sorry that you believed in him, but like, nothing you're saying right now is surprising, like, at all whatsoever. The only thing that's surprising me is like how quick it happens, because I thought he would probably keep it together a little bit longer. And we just talked for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I really helped her through it. And she made it clear in her YouTube videos, she was still very lost and manipulated. So she was still talking to him. And I mean, I knew, I wasn't stupid. I'm one of those people that like act like I don't know things, but like I actually know things. So I was just like letting her do her thing. And she kept asking me to do like a funny YouTube video with her. And I mean, you know, besides talking with you about it in my last YouTube videos, I'm really trying to move forward. So I kept telling her, no, no, no. And then she finally dropped her YouTube videos, and it was like the stuff that she said was just next level, dropped a bomb on everyone. And it got to the point where I had no choice but to address my past relationship with Evan, because people were just kind of thinking I was okay with being in an abusive relationship, and like I was just fine, and like I was just getting a lot of questions. So it got to the point where I had no choice but to clear the air and just do my videos and move on.
You weren't mad at her for doing her video, were you? Like, because it forced you to do yours?
No, 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 no. I wasn't mad at her at all. I was actually very, very supportive. She actually even sent me some clips of her videos before she would post them, and would ask me advice, like, is this too much? Because she was still very angry. And I think you can sense the difference in our videos, how she's still very much in it emotionally, and mine are very much like, I'm done and over it. Like, here's the facts, and I'm like laying it out. I'm more upset over like what I'm dealing with now, just because I was in an abusive situation for so long, where she's still kind of wrapped up in Evan. But no, I was very, very supportive of her, and not mad at her at all about the videos. And actually, I will say Morgan is very good about warning me about things. So every time like she goes to do a podcast and my name is mentioned, like she'll let me know. She'll be like, by the way, like this is exactly what was said. So I'm not ever blindsided by anything, because she's very aware of how I'm really trying to move on. Like I'm not I don't like being attached to Evan in such a public way anymore. Like, I want, like, you watched at the end of my YouTube video, like, I want my happily ever after. Like, I want my person. So she was very, very respectful of the fact that I didn't want to do a YouTube video with her, and I was very supportive of her doing her own videos.
Yeah, and I don't want to sit here and rehash everything that Morgan said in her videos and you said in yours, but for those that didn't watch it, first off, I would tell you, to go look it up on YouTube. Go look up Morgan Lohler on YouTube. And she did, I think, three videos. Maybe was it two
she
or three?
She did a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. She did two or three videos where she literally broke down from the second her and Evan left Temptation Island season one till the second he left her high and dry in Virginia the day before they were set to move to L.A. together.
Yep.
You have to listen to it yourself. Me and you rehashing it can't do it justice.
And it would take a million years.
It would take forever. Same thing with you. If any of you out there listening haven't heard Casey go over her past with Evan, I would go look for it on YouTube. And the gist of the whole thing is not just because everyone's just like, well, you know, in terms of naysayers or haters, whatever you want to say, it's more along the lines of, I don't know, get over it, or your fault for, you know, staying with him. That probably came up a lot. Your fault for staying with him. How did you continue to stay with somebody who was, you have nothing good to say about him now, but this was happening in a relationship. Why'd you stay? But, you know, that goes into a lot of deeper things. And I think you dove into this in yours was just mind manipulation, mind fucking, and, you know, almost being trapped and feeling like you couldn't get out of it. But the biggest thing that you were dealing with, and what I've noticed through listening to Morgan and listening to you, is you're dealing with someone who, I'm not going to diagnose him, but one thing I do know based on what both of you have said is he is a compulsive liar. And when you're dealing with someone who's a compulsive liar, someone that serious, it's not as easy as just saying, well, you lied, I'm done, I'm out of here. It's not.
No.
And so go ahead and expand on, like I said, not going into your video, but expand on exactly
kind of the gist of things. Yeah, we can talk about it. You know I'm comfortable talking to you about anything.
Yeah.
So a few things first off that I wanted to say from my video. After I did it, their overwhelming response was positive. Like, I actually got a crazy amount of apologies from people that had been hating on me for years. I mean, like, the amount of apologies I received was actually overwhelming. It made my family emotional. It made me emotional. It was insane. And I had a lot of people that actually went on Hulu and rewatched my season after watching my video. And they were like, holy shit, like, so much makes sense now that didn't make sense until we watched your YouTube video.
Yeah.
And the thing that I want to say is with someone like Evan, I mean, especially when you grow up with someone like Evan, and this is actually very sad. And again, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what he's been diagnosed with, but I watched Evan deteriorate over time. So Evan was not always the Evan that he is today. There was actually a point in time where Evan was terrified of becoming what he has become today. And he really wanted to be a good person. And he knew that he had serious issues. He was very aware of it. So I think that's why it made it so hard for me specifically, because I grew up with this person. Like, I've literally, like, we went to the same middle school. Like, we went to rival high schools. Like, we met each other and, like, kissed for the first time when we were 19. So for me, just being an empathetic person, and after everything he went through with his family, it was hard for me to give up on him because I knew how damaged and flawed he really was, and I just wanted to help him. But then it got to a point, like what we were just saying, the pathological lying, and I'm going to be totally honest right now. I didn't even realize how bad the pathological lying was until after T.I. because I finished filming T.I., and then people started reaching out to me, like from cast and production, with like questions, obviously. And everyone thought like insane things about me. They thought that I just stayed at home and did nothing, that Evan is like crazy wealthy. And my mind, I was like blown away because these lies were just so over the top. And I always knew like he had a lying problem. I said that in my video, but I didn't realize like the gravity and magnitude of the lying problem until after TI. And honestly, I worry for him. I feel bad for him because he's clearly very, 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 very sick. So yeah, dealing with someone that's a pathological liar, unless you're in it, you can't fully understand, but it's a type of manipulation and abuse that like it really brainwashes you, like full blown. Like I was brainwashed. I was not the person I am today. My family knew I was brainwashed. My friends knew I was brainwashed. And unless you've experienced it, you just really, you can't speak on it because you're just, you're going to sound ignorant.
Yeah. No, when I listened to it and I watched it, and it's stuff that you had told me in the past in text conversations before, but to you know to watch your YouTube video, to listen to details, because you had notes taken where because you didn't want to forget stuff and you wanted to. This wasn't just a stream of consciousness thought of like, oh, I remember one time when we were dating and he did this. Like it was like, hey, all planned out. It was. This is what he did. You have receipts of everything. And, you know, this was, again, for those that didn't see it yet, I would go watch Morgan and Casey's YouTube videos.
It's eye-opening for sure.
Yeah. And look, I don't want this to be a, you know, by doing that, it's almost like, well, gee, Steve, let's pile on Evan now. And it's like, look, I don't know Evan other than the times that I spoke to him, the two times that he was on my podcast. But also the two times he was on my podcast, I didn't know what I know now about him. So I can't put much stock into what he told me on those podcasts because I know he is a compulsive liar because I've seen certain receipts. So that's the thing where I'm going to be like, okay, I don't want to pile on the guy because there's a part of me, and I'm sure there's a part of you, you've moved on from him, but he's still a guy that was a major part of your life. If you found out something bad happened to Evan, it would hurt. I know.
I think about it all the time. Like it's a regular thought because I know how like not okay he is. So I love that. Like we're bringing awareness to this type of issue because it's actually extremely common, but people don't understand it. And I feel like me and Morgan truly are helping people all over the world. But at the same time, I think everyone needs to remember that this is not like a normal individual that is just like being an asshole to be an asshole. Like there's something actually very wrong with him. And like, we all need to like, let's say the facts, but at the same time, like just let him be. And like, he needs to heal and figure his shit out.
And it's almost like, look, I don't think he'll listen because it's coming from his two exes, but Evan needs help. And I don't know if he, when he hears, and that's basically what your videos were, like this guy needs help. He's going down a path that's not good right now.
Good.
And someone needs to intervene. Someone needs to step in, but we don't know who's close to him anymore. It seems like the people that he does hang out with are more enablers than people looking to try and get him help.
100%. 1,000%.
So that's what I mean. It's just like, look, we can say it till we're blue in the face. You can say it. Morgan can say it, but hopefully it gets through to him. Somebody somewhere gets through to him. Because even though I don't know the guy, I don't want to see anything bad happen to him.
No.
You know?
No. And I think people forget that like we're human, and this is actually like, it's crazy that it played out on a reality show in such a public way. And like, it made season one entertaining as hell. I mean, 2 years later, people still want to ask us about it, watch YouTube videos, podcasts, but it's like at the end of the day, it's our real life. Like this is real shit that we deal with on a daily basis. So I think people forget that.
Well, for sure they do. And that's where it's just like, look, this is more of a cry for help for him, and hopefully he gets around to it and listens at some point, or else he's headed down a road that just doesn't look good. And
one thing I wanted to say about bringing up receipts is I did have a few people, because I think I posted like back in the day, I posted like one screenshot of the like pages of text messages I had after TI from him, and they were like, oh, like he was just being nice to Casey, like saying he was like on a Pentagon tour. Like he wasn't doing anything inappropriate. I'm like, okay, what about like the one where he's saying I'm etched into every fabric of his life and it's far from over and he's calling me little bird and telling me he loves me. I'm like, freaking Steve, you've literally seen them all. Like, I'm like, this guy was saying the craziest things and people are finally just now believing it. But I literally was labeled like I was the psycho. Like I was the pathological liar for 2 years in front of the world. It's insane.
He was saying all that stuff while he was literally either sitting right next with to Morgan, or driving out there to see her. It was
nuts. It was nuts.
But like I said, I didn't want to spend too much time on it, but you want to know the story and the lies that this guy told over the course of numerous years together with you and in the 1 year that he was together with Morgan. I don't even know sometimes if you put me in a room and said, Steve, come up with the best, most creative lies you can come up with about yourself. If I could have come up with the stuff that Evan did. It's bizarre lies.
And like for no reason.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason. Like me and Morgan both, like we're very different, but we also have a lot of similarities. We're both very low maintenance girls. Like I don't need to be with a guy that has a lot of money, that has like a trust fund. Like it just, the lies that he says are just literally for no reason. Like there's no purpose for them.
Yeah. I mean, saying he owned bars and, oh, I have this going and this going when he had nothing. And had nothing in his bank account. It's just like, okay, that's some serious, like you said, next level lying. I want to switch gears now and talk about something that has come up recently with you. And it's fascinating to me because I will be the first to admit, the story is you have started an OnlyFans account. And
yes.
Your OnlyFans account is pictures of yourself, not nudes and not porn.
Nope.
So this is where I come in and say, for the longest time, first off, I don't know how long OnlyFans has been around. This seems like a fairly new thing. 6 months, 12 months? I mean,
I honestly just like got something in my throat. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I think it's been maybe, I don't know, maybe a few years, but it got really popular. I want to say the last like year or two, really popular.
Okay, yeah, it became a thing. And when I first heard about it, I think the first way I heard about OnlyFans was Chad Johnson from The Bachelor. And he basically started a porn career. And I'm like, I don't get how this works. So you just pay a monthly fee and you can watch Chad Johnson jerk off? Who the fuck wants to do this? And
I know, right?
But then it turned into, he started doing collabs with other women, and basically he is selling himself having sex with women on his OnlyFans accounts, which is which is copyright protected. So I'm just like, I just had such a bad taste in my mouth of this thing.
Yeah.
And then,
especially because it's Chad Johnson.
Yeah. And especially it's Chad, and I had people reaching out. I saw the ad that Chad put out on Craigslist to recruit women. I had women he did recruit contact me and say, this is what this guy's doing. So I got dragged into it somehow, and the whole thing left a bad taste in my mouth. But then I started to realize, I thought OnlyFans was literally just for porn or nudes. That's what I thought it was. And
to be honest, I thought that same thing until like a few months ago.
Yeah. And come to find out, it's not. The bottom line is I could start an OnlyFans account tomorrow and put a newsletter on it. You pay a monthly fee to get a newsletter from Reality Steve. I could put my spoilers on OnlyFans.
Yep.
I could do private emails.
Yeah.
You pay whatever I set it at. You pay $4.99 a month and you can privately email me. It has nothing to do with strictly nudes and porn. But do a lot of people use OnlyFans for that? Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But you have decided to, so just take us through your thought process of why you decided to start an OnlyFans account. And like we said, it's not, you're not going to, I'm sure you've been hit up by guys saying, hey, will you send me a video of you playing with yourself or something? I'm sure you've gotten it.
I've gotten some funny requests. Yes.
So, but just explain like what, your thought process of why you wanted to do it and what you do on your OnlyFans account. And shit, pitch yourself to anybody listening who wants to maybe purchase your OnlyFans account.
Yeah. So basically, as I think most people know that follow me, I was an executive assistant for almost 2 years before this whole pandemic happened. In March, I got laid off from my job, which honestly was kind of a blessing in disguise because I wasn't really happy there at all. I feel like it was kind of like a universe God sign to like finally like push me out of my comfort zone. And I had always known about OnlyFans, and I always knew like it was girls doing like porn and nudes and making like a shit ton of money. And it always kind of bothered me because I'm like, damn, like I want to do something like that, but I don't want to do like porn and like show myself naked, but I want to be like paid for my content. Like what the hell?
Yeah.
So I was actually in Dallas on one of our like Fab Four trips with the guys. Carl and Javen were there as well. And when we get together, all of us, we really, I think we kind of inspire each other because all of us are like very much like work hard, play hard type of people. And we all have like our different ventures and we all still do like social media and reality TV and like entertainment stuff. So we all kind of bounce ideas off of each other. And I just kind of threw it out there at lunch one day. I was like, what if I did OnlyFans? But, and at that point, what I was going to do is I was going to do like lingerie pics, but wear a stormtrooper mask. So no one knew it was me, but every single like picture was going to be like crazy lingerie pics with a stormtrooper mask. And they were like, damn, Casey, that's actually like a really good idea. And so then I just kind of went from there and I was like, no, I was like, you know what? Like, screw it. Like, I'm going to break this freaking stigma. Like, I'm going to post content on there that I don't post anywhere else. If people want to see it, they have to subscribe, and I'm going to be myself because like, yeah, any girl can be hot and show their naked body and do requests, but not any girl can be hot in lingerie and have like a fire personality and like be funny and like have good conversation in DMs and like do funny cooking videos. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make it my own little network. So I just said, screw it. And a bunch of my friends and even my family, they all were like, Casey, like you're going to get heat. Like people are going to assume you're doing porn. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be the first one to like change that. Like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to make it my own little show. And honestly, it's been like a week and I'm not going to get in how much money I've made, but it's been pretty freaking successful so far. And I haven't even really done like insane content yet. I've just done like some selfies, some cute like lingerie pics, but eventually I want to do like workout videos on there. I want to do like funny cooking videos, more like studio type photo shoots. But yeah, it's been going well. I actually have other reality stars and other social media people reaching out to me now asking me like how I'm doing it, how it works. Do I really not have to post nudes? And I don't know, man. I just think be a leader, not a follower. And that's that.
Yeah. I mean, you've done well for yourself and you've only had it, I think, 2 weeks now or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, for those that are asking, and I had this question, I think I know the answer to it, but people are like, so how is that any different than anything else that you post on Instagram? So basically what it is someone would go to your OnlyFans page and whatever, mm-hmm. whatever your monthly subscription is, whatever you have it set for. What is your monthly price right now?
-20.
Okay. So $20, you pay $20 and for 30 days you get whatever content that Casey chooses to put up on her OnlyFans page. Now, you don't, like I said, we don't do nudes and you don't do porn. You post a picture of a lingerie pic. If someone screenshots that pic and sends it out to a message board or sends it out and it ends up, mm-hmm. you end up seeing it somewhere online, then what can you do?
You can sue the hell out of them and press charges because you have a copyright notice in there. And everyone has a copyright notice. Well, anyone that's like smart and running it like an actual business has a copyright notice immediately in their feed. And actually all of my content on OnlyFans, in whether it's a video, whether it's a picture, it actually has my like link at the bottom. It's like onlyfans.com/CaseyNextDoor. So if they screenshot it and post it somewhere else, like you can see my link on the picture. So yeah, that's actually something I just had that something like that happen. Nothing got leaked, but someone threatened me in a Reddit group. They're like, I'll get to see your nudes when they get leaked on here. And in my mind, I'm just like, honestly, I hope that happens so I can sue the hell out of you.
Yeah. unless you can never trace who took the screenshot. That would be the issue, right? Because what if someone took a screenshot and just posted it somewhere under you know, obviously they would never post it under their real name. So that's that's the thing that would get tricky, but that's where you're protected in OnlyFans is.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's why like the porn industry and like they really took off with OnlyFans because number one, you're allowed to post 18 plus content, whereas Instagram, Twitter, like you can't. And then number two, like you can have a copyright notice. So everything is protected on your page. So that's why it was so appealing to the porn industry. But definitely. I mean, even Shari and Javen, they both have OnlyFans now. And the three of us, we kind of brainstorm together all the time. And they do theirs. It's like fitness and lifestyle stuff that they don't post on their regular social media accounts, and they have people subscribe to them as well. So I think it's just a matter of time that the more people that start doing it the way I'm doing it, I mean, it's going to be a matter of time before it's the norm.
Yeah. And the stigma being it's not just for porn and nudes.
Exactly.
That's where I guarantee 95% of the people listening right now, before we just went over that, probably thought it was for porn and nudes. I did up until
100%.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my MO. Like since I was like a little kid, I've always been the person that like if I want to do something, but other people like look down on it or whatever, it's like, I'm going to take that idea and I'm going to turn it into my own thing. And like, that's what I did with OnlyFans. It's like, screw this. All these bitches are making like crazy amounts of money a month, like to freaking post themselves and naked. Like I'm going to make money doing the same type of thing, but like not actually showing anything, and I'm actually doing it.
Yeah, and that's great. And I think that the people look, I've heard stories of the women who do porn on that thing.
Yeah,
the bank that they're making. I mean, it's,
oh no, that's the thing. I will make that clear. Like some of those girls are making like 30, 40, 50K a month.
Yeah.
Me not posting my titties, I'm not going to be making 30, 40, 50K a month. Okay.
Yeah.
But is it going to be a nice source of income? 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, yeah. And you might, and people might think like, whoa, are you serious? Yes, we're serious. That's the type of money.
Dead serious. These girls are like millionaires.
Yeah.
Like it's a business. They are hustling and they are making crazy amounts of money trying to retire real quick so they don't have to show anything ever again.
Yeah. And it's not like they're just shooting it on their iPhone and turning their iPhone around. And, you know, I mean, maybe some are doing it that way, but you know, they've got
a lot of them. It's quality.
Yeah. They're hiring camera crews. They're hiring, they're getting the perfect, you know, backlighting in there.
Yeah.
The ring lights and all that stuff. Like, it's
100%.
It's a thing. And I respect the hustle now. Before, I would have laughed at it. I respect the hustle. I don't really think, you know, the stuff that Chad's doing, if you want to go the porn route, I mean, that's your own deal. But that guy is also headed down a road that I don't think is all that positive right now. So,
no, definitely not.
Seems to be doing a lot more talking about how much, you know, when Chad constantly has to tell people how much he's making and how great he is.
Oh my God. Yes.
I'm going to start a porn palace.
Red flag that they're actually broke and like not who they say they are. If you're always talking about money and posting about it, red flag,
which is all he does. And he's got his porn, his porn palace. I think we heard about 4 months ago and it still hasn't come to fruition. So
oh
I don't know,
God.
Maybe it'll start tomorrow and Chad Johnson will be the king of porn in 2 years. And we'll all be bowing at his feet. I tend to guess otherwise, but you know, who knows? Maybe he'll surprise us. But yeah, I mean, I've been alerted to some of the stuff that he's saying and doing, and it's a lot of talk.
Yeah.
And unless you literally show us your bank account, it's just words to me. I don't really care. And the fact that he thinks that's the end all be all in life kind of shows that his priorities are a little bit out of whack.
Yeah, just a tad.
So, I mean, but look, I'm glad that you're doing it. Or I'm happy that you're doing it. You said it's onlyfans.com and /it's
Casey
Next Door.
But
you will promote it on your Twitter. It's on your Instagram account. So anybody that follows you on Instagram, that wants to,
they have access to it.
Yeah, it's just, you can just swipe up and it'll bring you right to your page.
Yeah,
where you sign up. And then once you're,
because I don't like overly promote it on my like, I'll do like one picture like here and there with like a swipe up, but I'm not like overly promoting it, but I still get like subscribers every day, so people are definitely clicking the links. So I think that's the biggest thing if you're trying to promote anything like that, like OnlyFans, YouTube. If your YouTube is monetized, definitely have it in a link in your bio because people do click those all the time.
And not only is it just, well, Casey, wow, so you got a few subscribers. What if they don't subscribe the next month? You don't understand. Once you're in it, once you're subscribed to Casey's page, yes, you get her content that she puts out on her page every month. Mm-hmm. But you also can tip her.
Yep, I got a tip yesterday.
You can just send a tip, or you can also request something that you want personally. And I think, yeah. And honestly, I've spoken to people about this, and I did a little digging on OnlyFans because I was just so curious about it.
Yeah.
And they were saying, like, look, it's more along the lines of, because I was like, why would somebody pay, not just for Chad Johnson, anybody on, why would somebody pay for that when porn is free? I don't get mm-hmm. it. Why would you pay for someone?
And it's about the personality and the talking with them.
Exactly. And it was more yeah. like, look, once you're in and you're a subscriber to somebody's page, if someone emails you and says, Casey, really liked you on Temptation Island, think you're sexy, loving these pics, can you send me a bustier pic or something like that? By you personally sending them a message for X amount yeah. of whatever you want to charge them, that's the hook for them. It's yeah. this personal feel of, wow, Casey Campbell, who I watched on TV, who I find ridiculously sexy, is messaging me back and sending me something. Like, that's what they yeah. look at it as.
And that's honestly, like, most of my like income that I'm making from OnlyFans isn't even from subscribers, like monthly subscription. It's from exactly that. So my subscribers, everyone's actually been very respectful. Like, it's been a really good experience so far, knock on wood. But that's where I'm making most of my money, is because they like talking to me, like, for real. Like, I just answer my DMs daily. It's like normal everyday conversations. And then, like, sometimes they'll want something, like, they'll be like, oh, like, can you send like a booty pic and like bikini bottoms? And it's like, okay, like, here you go. And like, they'll pay for that. Or like, one guy wants me to wear like my black lingerie outfit with like black boots and like take a picture in that. So it's just, I don't know. It's just, I have my boundaries and I have my limits and they're set. And I have had people ask me for things that are over my limits, and I'm very clear with them. It's like, nope, I'm not going to do that, but I can do this. Or like, if you have something else in mind, and everyone's very respectful, but that's what they're paying for, is the interaction with the person and the person's personality. Because you can literally go on Pornhub right now and watch porn, but you can't yeah. talk with an actual person that has a personality and like is joking around with you, asking about your day, and like you're asking about their day, and then you get cute pictures from them.
Can you go live on your OnlyFans?
I'm still like learning about it all, because I have had people ask me that. Like, people want me to go live and like talk with them the way I do on my IG. I think you can, but I'm not sure how to do it yet. So okay. I'm still learning all of those type of things, but I think that is, I think you can.
And then for those that don't know, a big thing that happened in the OnlyFans world within the last couple weeks.
Oh my God, Bella Thorne.
So Bella Thorne started an OnlyFans account. And she promised people, hey,
she did like a pay per view message, which is something that I actually do. Like, I'll send out like a mass message in the morning, and it's like a cute, flirty, like video of me like in my blanket in the morning or something, not showing anything, but it's like sexy. And she told everyone, like, pay to open this message. It's $200 and it's a nude. But then everyone freaking paid for the message, and it's her in lingerie. So she like scammed an insane freaking amount of people. And now it's affected like all of OnlyFans and the entire like pay structure, because she made millions of dollars and everyone wants their money back.
And everyone wants their money back. So now you can only the max amount of tips you can leave for somebody is 100.
Yeah.
Is it 100 per picture or 100 total or 100 per like a
month? I want to say it's per picture because there was like there wasn't a limit on it before, and I think now it's I think it's 50 or 100. I'm not sure though. Okay. I'm still learning. But that's why like me, like I made it so clear in my bio, like before you even subscribe, like exactly what you're signing up for, because I think that's what people really need to remember when you're doing something like OnlyFans. It's like it is a business and like you are taking people's money, so you don't want people to think it's something that it's not. So like I'm very clear that there's like no nudity. I'm very clear that if you guys like start like harassing me or asking for things I'm not okay with, like you're gonna get kicked off. Like you have to make it clear like they're getting what they're paying for.
And what is the other thing about what did the her Bella doing that do to private messages in terms of money you can make off that?
I think it capped it. Like we were just saying, I think it's like you can't go more than $50.
Oh, it's 50 on a private message.
Yeah.
Picture,
and I think like, the tip is 100.
And tipping is 100. Okay. So that's what it is. Yeah. So yeah. Before, I think it was, I didn't even have a cap. I didn't even think.
I don't think there was a cap because no one's ever scammed people like that before. Like it's never been like that big of a deal. And because she's so famous, like I think she made like $2 million in like a weekend.
Yeah.
So OnlyFans, like they take a cut of everything that we make. So they, all these people that she scammed, they're calling support, wanting their money back. So they had to dish out like an insane amount of money. So it affected like OnlyFans creators everywhere, like yeah, with getting their paychecks and paying their rent and bills.
Yeah. And maybe it'll go back up after this settles down. I don't know.
Yeah. But
yeah. I mean, you could, someone before this Bella Thorne thing happened, somebody could have emailed you and said, Casey, I will pay you $5,000 if you send me a pic of you in bed in lingerie. And it could have happened. Like,
yeah,
it could
not anymore.
Now it's $50. It's capped. If yeah, you send them a private message, it's crazy. But you know, like I said, it's the hustle is there, and it's not just a porn site. Let's make that clear. Now.
Like people, one of my guy friends, because I talked with him about it, and he was like, "Yeah, he's like, I knew about OnlyFans way before people knew about it for porn. Like, I would go on it to look at like travel blogs and like learn like cooking stuff. Like literally, like you can go on to someone's OnlyFans, and it's like a blog of all the places they've traveled and different like restaurants they ate at. There's like people that do just like cooking, people that just do workouts. Like there's all sorts of different types of profiles you can subscribe to. Lifestyle, fashion, it's just that porn. There's no other social media site that you can literally pay to see anyone you want doing porn and nudes. So, yeah. And then for the porn industry, like if you're a porn star, you don't have to use a manager anymore. You can just manage your own business. So it's perfect for the porn industry, but no, it's definitely used for a lot more than just that.
Yeah. And I don't want my fans thinking that I'm actually considering moving my spoilers to a pay site. I'm not using OnlyFans. I was just curious about the industry. When I heard about the Chad stuff and I saw him promoting it, I'm like, wait, what is this? What is he doing? I didn't want to be ignorant about it because I wanted to talk. There's a couple times on my live on Sunday nights where I have talked about Chad and what he was doing, and I didn't want to sound ignorant, and I just wanted to make sure I knew what I was talking about. I was like, okay, this is how it works. I had no idea. I didn't understand, and I get it now. And like I said, there's a hustle there. He's doing straight porn and being a pig about it and, you know, shoving it in your face on his Instagram stories and stuff like that. But you know, whatever, that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. But yeah, congratulations on that. And like you said, you can sign up at onlyfans.com/KaceyNextDoor, KACI.
Yep.
Before we head out of here, I had a question just following your, Instagram account and your stories. You're obviously a big TV watcher. You get caught up on a lot of movies and Netflix shows and stuff like that. I have a question. I'm going to give you two guys, and you need to tell me which. I'm trying to determine which one you like more based on what I've seen you say on Instagram.
Oh God, I'm nervous.
So so who would you prefer?
Okay.
Zac Efron.
Oh God, he's yummy.
Or Jacob Elordi.
Oh God, you're really giving me tough ones. One of them is like 6'5", and one of them is 5'8".
Yeah. One of them's also 32, and one of them's 23. There's also that.
Yeah. Okay. So Jacob Elordi, yeah, he's hot. Love him in the kissing booth. He's like tall. He's ripped. But yeah, he's super, super young. He's like hopping all over the place. Like, I think he just dumped Zendaya and is now with like Kaya Gerber. I don't know. He just seems like, honestly, he kind of seems like an Evan, but yeah, like not as bad. And then, but he's crazy hot, don't get me wrong. But Zac Efron, I don't know, I just love him. Like, he was like my type when I was like in high school and he was doing High School Musical, and now he's like a freaking 32-year-old man and he's like ripped and scruffy, and I don't know. That, like, his new show on Netflix, that like nature show, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. Well, I know from watching
it for the nature.
I know from watching your Instagram stories what it was, because I had no idea he was even doing that, and then I saw
No, I just watch it for him.
Yeah. You're like,
he's
yeah,
so hot.
You're like, Zach can get it. That's what you basically said.
No, Zac Efron, I would definitely go with Zac Efron, 100%. He's my age. He's hot. Yeah. He's smart as hell.
And I know that Jacob Elordi is like the new – he's like the new one, because Kissing Booth,
yeah,
Euphoria, where
Euphoria,
all the women really – that was
– everyone is into him.
That
he's
was
hot.
The start of him being, you know, the new It young boy now.
Yeah.
But yeah, and he's got the – I mean, you know, because in Euphoria, you know, he just – I had no – because this happens a lot, obviously, with acting. I had no idea he had an accent. I didn't know idea he was from overseas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's he from? Is he British or is he
– I want to say – actually, I want to say Australian.
Australian. I was going to say European or – British or Australian. I didn't know.
Yeah. It's one of those, because I never hear him with an accent. But yeah.
Because he wasn't an accent in Kissing Booth. Didn't have it in Kissing Booth. Doesn't have it in Euphoria. So, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to see if you had to choose, and you were forced to choose.
Zach.
So Zach can get it.
It wouldn't even be that hard of a choice, honestly, because it's like now I'm like a mature – like if you would have asked me this like 5 years ago, 100% would have picked Jacob. But now that I'm like a strong, confident woman – I'm like, you know what? Jake is a little fuckboy. He's 23 years old. I'm 31. Like, we're going with Zach because he's like hot as fuck, funny, can sing. He's smart, but he's also like stable, you know, and like knows who he is.
I think I saw today. Did you see this? That he was holding hands with a new girl, Zach?
Zach or Jacob? I thought it was Jacob.
No, Jacob too. Zach Efron has a new girl.
Ooh, I'm going to Google as soon as we get off.
Her name is Everything You Need to Know. 2 hours ago, it was on people.com. Everything You Need to Know About Zac Efron's New Flame, Vanessa Valladares. Valladares.
Is she a nobody or is she somebody?
She is. She doesn't have a ton of Instagram followers. She is.
Oh, I love that.
He was photographed having lunch with her Saturday at a beachside cafe in Australia. She works as a waitress.
So she's a normal person.
Yeah,
I love
She's a normal girl. She's got a booty on her.
I'm here for all of this.
She does do some modeling, but she's only got she's got 16,000 followers on Instagram.
See, I just like Zach even more because of that. You know, like he likes who he likes. She doesn't have to be famous. She doesn't have to be like an IG model, just a regular girl.
Yeah. She does modeling, but she's not like, she's certainly not a decoy.
Uber. Yeah. IG famous.
She's not like you go on her Instagram and it's nothing but her boobs out in front of your face. Like
it's classy.
So she works as a I guess at this restaurant, this Byron Bay General Store and Cafe in Australia. And
wow,
he was seen holding hands with her. So I guess that's his new thing.
I love it.
Vanessa Valladares.
I stan. I've never said that in my life. That's the first time I ever said that.
There you go. Well, Casey, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
It's always a blast talking to you. Sometime in between January and March, when I'm assuming Temptation Island 3 will be airing, we'll definitely have you
back
on, and we'll have you back on to talk a little TI3. So,
sounds like plan.
Definitely. Good luck with OnlyFans. Take care, and obviously, we will definitely be in touch.
Alrighty, bye.
Bye. Thanks so much to Casey for coming on. I think I say this every time I do have her on. If you were listening to my podcast back during season one of Temptation Island, when Casey was a weekly guest, we had her on 11 straight weeks. at, you know, to talk about the episodes and stuff like that. Listening to her then and then listening to her now, it's night and day. It's a completely different person. You can hear how confident she is. Back when she was on, you could tell that she was still just in kind of shock of what happened to her on season one when Evan left with Morgan. But now the confidence just shines through. I love talking to her. I love hearing from her. And I did want to have her on because I really did want to talk about this OnlyFans thing, because I do think it did have a stigma to it. Probably I probably contributed to that stigma. But like I said, I could start an OnlyFans tomorrow and just send out a newsletter and send out my spoilers on that. I never will. I'm not going to charge you guys for spoilers because my website makes me money that way. But it's more than that. I think the other thing that's going to take off on OnlyFans is probably fitness stuff, where people that do workouts, that you see them put it on their Instagram stories or put it in their Instagram feed, now they can just say, hey, for $9.99, look at my workout today. And, you know, you can set your prices on anything on that. People can tip you. You can get, you know, personalized messages, all that stuff. So good for her. I'm glad that she started that. And if you're interested, like I said, onlyfans.com/KaciNextDoor. That's KACI. But thank you all for listening to podcast number 199. Please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. Certainly much appreciated. Next week, episode number 200. I actually planned ahead on this one. And I'm recording with them tomorrow, which would be Wednesday the 9th. I will say it is Bachelor Nation related. It is a big name from the franchise. It's not someone that has never done an interview before. It's someone that you definitely have heard from before. Probably not too much, but it'll be interesting. And it'll be interesting because the reason I'm having them on has a lot to do with me. I'll just leave it at that. But this isn't something I'm going to tease for a week. Once I get it recorded, and once you're hearing this podcast with Casey on Thursday, I'll probably start tweeting about it on later on today or even over the weekend. So it's not going to be something that I'm, you know, promoting the hell out of and stuff like that. I hope you all listen to it next week for episode number 200, because I'm looking forward to speaking and conducting this podcast. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you all will listen next week as well. But crazy, 200 episodes. I never thought I'd get to 200 when I started this thing. But it's all thanks to you guys for tuning in. So I appreciate it. For Casey Campbell, I'm Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in. And we will talk to you next week with episode number 200. See ya!